Blog Talk Radio.
What are you doing, Neil? Are you ready for the show?
Yep.
Today, we are continuing our discussion on connecting and healing your past lives. And I believe we left off at a manner of healing would be to use prayer. But I don't think we got fully into the aspects that we can creatively apply to fix those past life issues so that we can move into a transcendent energy in this lifetime. First, want to let everybody know how to get in touch with us. As always, you can follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can join us on Facebook or Twitter. We do invite you to join us on the social media networks if you do participate in those, because this is a service and it helps to support our work if you connect with us on those mediums. 562-596-7818 is the number to call if you'd like further conversation about an extended conversation with Neil. And anything else before we get started?
Well, that sounds good.
You look sleepy. Are you sleepy, Neil?
No. Although, you know, I might be one of the doors, but I don't think I'm asleep.
I'm one of the doors.
Probably guilty, huh?
I'm happy, right?
You're happy, yeah.
We determined that.
Yeah.
Healing past lives, connecting to past lives. Well, for a recap, let's recap, shall we?
Okay.
So, as we talked about on the last show, themes of the past lives that that may be part of your conflict in this lifetime are going to come up. So identifying those themes which are causing problems and really pinpointing whether the theme is coming from a specific chakra connected to that theme or if it's actually a problem maybe with a different chakra. So I think the example we used on last show is relationships, for instance. You may have a problem in relationships, but it might be a chakra that's causing the problem, the vision of relationships, or there may be an imbalance in the fourth chakra, the heart. Or perhaps it's the grounding that causes the problem getting to the relationship chakra. So it can be different formations of the chakra system. So being really analytical and careful to pinpoint what exactly is causing the issue is the first step. And of course, there are tricks in the number system, which we're not going to get into today, but will be forthcoming in our book on how to more accurately diagnose.
Yeah, the code and the birth date does signify some sense of what your journey is going to be about. And the correlation between the numbers, of course, is important as well. If you're mentioning relationship and the vision of relationship, we're looking at 2 and 6. That combined, that energy between the energies, of course, is going to be a 4 between the energies, which is the balance between relationships and vision. So how we envision our relationship, and then how we actually achieve that relationship in terms of a balanced relationship could be karmically connected to a past life whereby we lost that balance in terms of someone being in a relationship where you really weren't counterbalancing the energies between you and your partner. That could be one result. Another could be that you left the relationship in a karmic situation. So that karma carries forth into the proceeding lifetime with the individual that you had problems with, if in fact they had to come back too, oftentimes what happens, or seldom what happens, is that one of the parties of the relationship does not come back, or the energies are disconnected in the particular proceeding. In that case, the person may have to work out agendas of relationship conflicts with other people, either other people they've had karma with or just other people at large, until they formulate inside of themselves a connection to a relationship. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we work out our relationships with other people, and then some of us go away from the world, so to speak,
right,
to work on ourselves?
Yeah.
Well, that's because of a karmic situation. If you have an intensity to work with somebody else due to a karma, then you're bound to be working out a relationship agenda with a person, another person. If it's something that you've created within yourself, then the idea will be that you might tend to go to therapy and work on yourself to discover what it is that's causing a disruption in relationships. And sometimes that's often rooted to family zones, family origins. I mean, we all know the classical stages of therapy. Most of the time we go through our family stuff. And if we don't, then we just kind of immediately get to a self-esteem ego energy or a problem-solving energy, something like that. And we leave our family out of it. But, I mean, it's all interconnected. Now, that's going to be basically connected to the code. If you have in your month or day a one, you're going to have problems in family. I mean, it's just going to be there because it's the base chakra. It's the bowel chakra. It's the root chakra.
Well, can it manifest in problems with, you know, maybe owning property or having a stable foundation in the home? Is it always connected to family?
Unless you were born on a wagon train, the home itself is going to be connected to the family. So the home is just the skeleton. It's the skeleton of the family. What is it involved in the home? Of course, you can have a karma in the land. If you in a past life disrupted the land, and it had nothing to do with family, you just were mismanaged the land or corrupted the land, or committed a murder on a certain piece of land, killed somebody over a land stake, something like that. Then, yeah, you can have karma in the first chakra. If you ruined the foundation of other people, people who commit crimes against their fellow human beings in terms of ruining their foundations, ruining the basis upon which they live, people who take homes from people or rob people of a worthy income. So things like this can be amounted to trouble in the first chakra.
Right. So, I mean, that's exactly my point. And of course, when you're looking at an early life, you're saying that oftentimes a one, there'll be some kind of disruption in the family. It may not be a money problem. It could be someone's an alcoholic, or there might be, you know, a neglect situation or some kind of strife in the home. But can't one just relate to, you know, a one in the birth date on the karmic side, just relate to someone who has a problem establishing a foundation in the earth, and it can actually not only apply in their earlier lives, it might come up later in their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you might have an okay home environment, something
you can
that's
have
not,
a beautiful environment,
and then, you know, problem in the first chakra. That's my
you
point.
You can be so enmeshed in your family that you never leave your, I've got clients who never have left their family. We're still living at home at 40, 50 years old.
Or, yeah.
And they're, you know, and they're just shack up in their bedroom and they don't do much of anything. And it's kind of a codependent situation. But you know, I mean, does that produce a karma? Well, it can because the...
Okay, we are back. What happened? But here we are.
We got pulled into the void of...
Unfortunately.
Password.
Yeah.
And what was the last thing that was... I don't know.
I don't know where we left off, but we were talking about people that live at home at a late age.
I mean, here's a guy who lived at home. He was very obese and he lived at home and somewhat dysfunctional. And he wrote this book, never got it sold in his lifetime. His mother actually helped to get it sold. He brought it to the attention of an editor, I think. And then he ultimately took the book, and it became a Pulitzer Prize winning piece of fiction. Now, here was a guy who wrote a book, and it became a Pulitzer Prize winning piece of fiction. And yet, can we say that he's going to have karma because he lived at home with his mother? Not necessarily. He actualized himself, even though it wasn't fully discovered in his lifetime. He still left something to the earth that was noteworthy.
Right, but it's going to be based on the individual. Obviously, not every individual that lives at home is at an older age is subject to karma. But you could be also be creating a karma by living at home for that long if you're supposed to leave.
Well, if there's a conflict in relationships with potential partner, and that stops you from being at home, if there's fear about living in the world, and that stops one from going out to the world, that can be problematic. You know, if a person's suffering from severe depression, not that that isn't, you know, that should be treated and addressed, but can that produce a karma? Yeah. I mean, it's all interconnected. You know, when you look at your present life, you're looking at two things at once. You're looking at your past life, and as you're looking at your present life, you're looking at what you're producing for your next incarnation. So in that zone, you have to analyze, what are you doing in the present moment that is reducing karma as much as what are you doing in the present moment that is promoting
transcendence.
So you have to analyze it that way. And by looking at your birth date code, you might be able to look at some of the formulas that you have to work through in order to get to that place of balance. And then from there, proceed forward into a higher energy. So when you're looking at the lower chakra energies, like 1, 2, 3, up to about the 4th chakra, you're looking at basically the baseline energies. And those hold a lot of important karmic situations. And if you don't actualize those particular chakras, home, relationship, creativity, ego, heart and balance, it's hard to get to the higher chakras without still producing some attitude of karma. Of course, there are brilliant people who live in the higher energies, like the 6th, 7th, 5th, 6th, 7th chakra, who are a mess. But they're so brilliant that they have to be kind of taken care of, and they're a mess. But how do we gauge that in terms of the journey of the soul? Because the soul is still required to have a certain sense of balance in the energy of walking on the earth. And if we are off balance, even though we may be brilliant and do great things, if the energy is off balance, well, there's some condition that may require the soul to come back to the earth to establish a sense of balance. That's why we have so many people who are just trying to, their job isn't to actualize themselves on a higher level.
They
can't find a relationship.
They're stuck in the survival elements or the,
Yeah, and yet they're brilliant and they're
getting a job, relationship, which...
Look at the people who do brilliant things, and they die penniless, you know, and they die lonely. People who are on Skid Row back in the 20s in the Depression, not with a major crash, but people who are brilliant geniuses who are living on the streets, rootless. I mean, so we have to, you know, it's a hard battle we've got, and our code is only part of the formula in terms of how we begin to decipher what is our journey, how do we scramble up our zones of balance and imbalance, our chakra systems, our attitude of body, mind, and soul, and how do we put it all together like Humpty Dumpty and make it right?
Well, what's also difficult is for those of us who are only here to get through the survival elements of the planet and are going to be required to come back to actualize the higher energies. How do you get through a lifetime when you're destined to be so limited.
Well, that's, you know, that's one of my great challenges when I work with people. I often will try to encourage people to be as creative as they can and to actualize themselves. And a lot of times I get the comment back, look, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to get through this pain, or I'm trying to get through this physicality, or I'm trying to just get a home or live. I can't worry about the higher things. And, you know, it's a reality. It's one of the hardest things that I have to face when I'm dealing with clients in terms of trying to help someone actualize their highest potential while at the same time maintaining their stability and balance and root system on the earth. It's a hard goal for a psychic who takes on the role of trying to be also a mentor or someone trying to help as well as just give a reading in terms of the assistance of allowing other beings to grow in their own path and to actualize themselves while at the same time remaining stable and fulfilling their primitive primordial needs as well as their basic human needs. So, you know, and then when I look at a birth date and I can analyze what kind of trouble I may be having just in terms of the code and how to kind of work through a person's psyche in relation to how their numbers are arranged in the birth date.
Right, and I guess the next incarnation for an individual with those difficulties is going to be dependent, or the content of the next incarnation is going to be dependent on how they faced adversity in the current lifetime. Yeah. And so they could end up, if they don't maintain a positive attitude or, you know, a sense of spirituality, et cetera, they could end up in the same position in the subsequent lifetime.
You know, it may be that
which
you,
is a pitfall.
You have to go back into the past life in some form of vision and try to decipher what went wrong in a prior life that brought the individual to this state of mind. So sometimes that requires a different kind of cosmic journey, the third eye, as well as some kind of hypnotic journey backward that will help to reveal and validate certain aspects and themes that the person went through in the past life. And that sometimes is most visible in the way the person enters the earth in the first place, what their family situation is like, the background, things like that. But it's all really interesting. Because as we grow forward and we release ourselves of karma, we actually start to center ourselves into our higher attitudes. And those things come in handy, which, of course, you know, sometimes has to be done by getting through trauma and letting go of the trauma. A lot of us think we're survivors because we have moved past our trauma. But in all actuality, we carry it within ourselves, and it erupts at any given moment in our behavior patterns. And so we have to be aware that when we let go of energy, we're tranquil, we're peaceful, we have assurance, we have faith, stability, solid energy. You know, those are the attitudes that demonstrate that we have really come to link ourselves with a higher essence, and we're not so panicked by the currents of earth tides and what goes on the planet that affects our ego. Our egos are important, but at the same time, our ego shouldn't get in the way of our transcendence to where we no longer actualize our highest potential, or we do so at the cost of being compassionate and fair and faithful to a higher source.
Okay. Let's take a caller, Neil. We lost some when we went off the air, unfortunately. So we have Susan.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. Fine. How are you?
Good.
Her birthday. Hold on, Susan. 10/29/58. She's a 35/8. What's going on?
Just on your conversation, don't most people have a 1 in their birthday?
No, not necessarily. I mean, if you're born on the 8th of May or the 6th.
Oh, the day.
There's not a 1. If you're talking about the century, that's something we're including in this discussion. It's like the month and day and the day.
Oh, okay. All right. So hi, Neil.
Hi.
My question revolves kind of around the same topic that we talked about last time, around my daughter and Mark. And just want to know how long it's going to take for him to try to get her back.
how long it's going to take for him to get
try
her
to get
back?
Her back. Yeah.
You get your daughter back?
Yeah.
Do you have their birth dates, by the way? We got them last show.
Hers is.
I know I have them. Susan, I have them. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Neil has them in front of him because
yeah,
he
yeah.
makes them.
Well, there's no immediate guarantee that it's even going to happen. I mean, if the two decide to connect for a higher reason, aside from the fact that, you know, there's a love connection between them or some kind of emotional bond between them, the premise of connecting has to be based on the balance of both their energies. They can get back together and split up in 2 weeks, a month, a year.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee as to say that two people get back together again is just setting yourself down and starting a process. But the working through that process is going to be more important than the attachment, because things can fall apart immediately. There isn't any sheer prediction, Susan, on your daughter and her fellow.
I'm hearing. Is the show on in the background? Because I'm hearing the Neil like through my speakers.
I don't
yeah, I'm
think
hearing,
so.
Can you turn it off, please?
It's not on. Let me just double check. No,
yeah,
it's not on.
There's someone has. You guys have the show on. I think on like on the internet. If you could mute that.
Oh, I'm looking at my computer. It's not on. I just have other things on. Maybe it's because I'm on speakerphone. Let me try. Does this sound better?
Yeah.
I'm not hearing
it.
I'm not hearing it now.
So that's better.
Okay, speakerphone.
So Susan, it isn't, there isn't, you know, you can't go forward in this case and look at a page and say, ah, here they are to get back together again. What happened on this date at this time? It isn't, their energy is not poised in such a way that that position can be assured. This is a tough battle. I will say that probably if they're not connected by October, and I'll make the window big, if they're not connected by October of 2016, forget it. I would.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a big window.
It's a big window. About what, 9 months away or so, or 10 months away. By then, Susan, it's just not going to, I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean,
okay.
I think, what was your advice? Let's review the advice in the last show. I mean, wasn't your advice to the daughter? What's your daughter's name again, Susan?
Melissa.
Oh, Melissa. Wasn't the advice to move on rather than, you know, I mean, of course.
Well, she's trying to move on, but she just has, her intuition is telling her that he, like in months from now, he's going to beg for her back, but it might be too late at that point.
I'm with your opinion on the relationship. Do you want them to reconcile?
At this point, if they really love each other, I want them, if it's healthy. But if it's out, it wasn't, no. And I don't see that it'll ever be healthy because of his mindset.
Yeah, you know, love can be very unhealthy, too.
He was
love
womanizing.
Yeah, she's saying that he is a womanizer. And so, not exactly a healthy situation for Melissa to get back into. I mean, it's hard to let go when you're got
it
these
is, especially when there's a child involved.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
Child, you know, and the baby has a one. She was born on the 18th, so.
What's the baby's birthday, Susan? We've
10,
got a little time. 10/18/2013. 2013, wow.
Well, okay. There's a 10. There's that 10, I'm feeling.
12, 13. Yeah, two ones,
and then
actually.
And becomes a 10 in
which,
the same
room. 10, yeah, 10, 11, 12, 13.
16, 7.
I mean,
yeah,
a good master number.
It has a lot to do with the baby. The baby, you know, and the baby's energy is the same month as you and almost the same day. Not quite, but getting close. I don't know, Susan, you have a problem. I mean, to stay together for the child's benefit. But
no, I don't want that.
For the wife, for Melissa to have to suffer because her her partner's a womanizer and is always, you know, she doesn't know what the security is not the best situation for anybody. I mean, unfortunately, this baby may have to suffer a kind of a broken family relationship between mother and father, but in there may be more peace. I don't know. It's a problem. And it's going to demand some kind of therapy. I think interaction with someone intelligent who knows what they're doing to guide the baby along. Well, not just Melissa, but a baby who will from infancy think that this is a normal pattern, that you know, mother and father are either fighting, they're together and they're fighting their problems, or they're apart. And so the connection therein is going to be very difficult for that child to assimilate in such a way that she has a healthy connection to the world.
Right.
So you know, something's needed here where there's some sense of guiding. I don't know if it's through you or through some other factor, but someone's going to help the child to be stable, because it appears that the parents are not in that peace of mind right now. And that's unfortunate for the child. You know, the child's the victim here, at least in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe that's the part you'll have to play, Susan. Grandparents provide great stability. I've got so many clients who...
Yeah, he won't even allow me to see the baby when he has the baby, and he has her more than Melissa does.
Why is the custody, is that a legal arrangement, the fact that he...
It's shared custody. It's joint custody, but because the baby already lived in the house, that's her primary address. You know, that's so just the way they arrange it. That's not the permanent arrangement. That's just the way it is now.
So your daughter had to move out of the home, which means that the custody swings in his favor.
What happened in the home is that my daughter was actually the primary lease signer. And when she left, she got herself a little studio because the hotels were getting too expensive. When she signed that lease, it voided out the lease at the house, and she lost her rights to the house. She didn't know that was going to happen, but it did, unfortunately.
Yeah,
Melissa, is she born 5/20?
Yeah, 5/26.
Yeah, you see, there's a zero in her day next to a relationship energy of two. And that sometimes can be really problematic. Yeah, yes, indeed, it can be. So it is part of her karmic journey that she's gone through this, but that doesn't answer the whole question as to how to deal with it. How to deal with it, she's going to have to take it on.
Yeah, I think, you know, she's going to have to wind up in getting therapy to get through this, because she's really hurt. Hello? Uh-oh. Hello.
Susan? Hi.
Yes.
I don't know
Hi.
What's going on with Blog Talk Radio today, but this is a little annoying. But we're back. I think this should be okay because we dialed in this time rather than use the internet.
Okay.
Anyway, go on, Neil.
Yeah, Susan.
I'm still hearing my voice bounce back. What is that? Something must be on. Do you hear me?
Yeah. We can hear, when we talk, we hear ourselves repeating the words.
Let me get off speakerphone.
That's
okay, that's better. Volume.
Okay.
Therapy is probably the ideal situation. A good therapist. There's plenty of bad ones, but you need a good therapy session and somebody who knows how to guide this along and give the stability that's needed through this time, Susan.
Yeah, you know, her getting it isn't a whole other thing. But anyway, that's that. Do you have more callers, or do you have time for another quick question?
Oh, we can do one more question, but then
I have a date next weekend with this guy named Victor. He was my best friend's cousin when we were children. I knew the entire family. I used to go to their family get-togethers. So anyway, many years later, forward, we're going on a date next weekend for sushi. And his name is Victor.
Didn't sushi just come up somewhere?
Yeah. Somewhere, but it is.
We love ethnic food, so that's a thing.
So you're going on a date with Victor to sushi, and Victor's somebody you knew from the past.
Yeah.
And you're wondering. Oh, so what's your question?
I guess is it going to develop, or is it, you know, friends? He had a crush on me then, but, you know, of course, I'm much different now.
Well, do you have a birth date?
No, no idea.
Okay.
I'll try to get it.
Well, you know, I mean, who's connecting to who? Who prompted this connection?
He sent me a message. Said he's
going
to be
here. He sent you a message?
Yeah, on Facebook.
Well, you know, it could be that he's connecting because of the bond and the history. It could be connecting because he's looking for sex, and he's trying to find it in a place that has a history where he could reconnect. So it could be something like that, Susan. I mean, without the birth date at hand, it's hard. I mean, I'd have to go to a, I don't know. Did you know somebody in the police force ever?
Police force? Not that I can remember.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. If he mentions anything with the police force, maybe that's what I'm picking up on. Because when I was just talking to you now, I was getting a vibe about the police force. And I don't know what that means yet. So you have to see if...
I think he works, like, inside homes, like carpentry, like all anything inside homes. But I don't know what you call it.
Nah, that's not police force. So anything to do with the policeman, the police force, anything that may come up might be indicating a vibe I'm getting. Where that goes from there, I would assume that if there's something to do with any kind of police theme, it could mean that you and Victor could be moving forward in such a way that there's going to be a closeness. How that gets connected to the police force, I don't know yet. I don't know. Maybe his brother works for a police force or he knew somebody. You should ask him on the date if he has any connection to policemen or the police force. And then kind of go from there.
Yeah, I don't know if he is or I don't know. But anyway, he lives like 2 hours away, but I was just wondering if it would. But he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine.
He's into music. He, like, plays the guitar. He's trying to get a band together. that's what I do know.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, you're talking about he does things in the home. He likes music. He's trying to get a band together. Those are all okay. But I don't know if that is addressing whether this is going to be an intense relationship or not. You know, he lives 2 hours away. He wants to kind of connect with you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Without the birthday, Sue, I'd have to kind of analyze it on a different level because perhaps he's either rebonding with you. Maybe there's something karmically going on. I'm not sure yet.
Okay. I'll try to get the birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, Neil. Well, weird day today, but...
Friday is our day of maybe, you know, we're trying this new thing on Friday.
Right, but there's a reason why, I know why this is happening today. And we also lost some callers when we dropped.
So we can talk a little bit more. I mean, how much time do we have?
20 minutes.
20 minutes left?
Yeah.
Well, we could talk another 5 minutes and
see what happens and wrap up
at
early.
At least collect something for the archives, if nothing else.
Okay.
We were talking about the idea of past lives and how our past lives affect our present
energy and how we balance all that out and things like that. I'm sure, you know, some people kind of go into the category that they actually go into past life regression. I don't carry much weight when people say, oh, you know, I was Cleopatra in a past life. To me, that's frivolous. It's nonsense. The attitude is not so much who you were in a past life as to what that the energy of that past life means to the individual as they live and breathe in the current state. So I'm very leery of anyone, you know, coming up and telling me that they were somebody famous in a past life. I don't take much credence for that kind of thing. But most of us were commoners, just common people going through the world. The idea, there are few people that really believe. Patton, for instance, really believed in that he was, I think, Alexander or somebody in a past life. And he had notions of that, General Patton. And there are people who are very famous who believe that they were somebody great in a past life. And I don't know. There might be a certain cosmic consciousness that's attached that we identify with. So that's not to say that we were that individual, but we might hold some sort of cosmic consciousness along certain themes that help us to activate the energy of who we were in a past life. Yeah. You know, famous composers maybe have a musical connection to Beethoven or Haydn or something like that, that there's that sort of cosmic consciousness in a certain league of thought.
Well, I always say that, you know, if you were famous in a past life, generally you're not talking about it. I mean, you know, okay, so that's a part of the soul's journey and history, but, you know, making such grandiose claims is, you know, kind of the result of an ego problem, not, you know, if what's the point of talking about that?
Well, I just, yeah. And not only that, but the validity of it is a question.
Questionable.
When people say that it were somebody famous, I've had so many people tell me they were Cleopatra that they, you know, I it's almost laughable. But there seems to be certain characters that people say that they have been in a past life, and it seems like everyone carries certain notes along the same theme on that. Past lives is a difficult thing to really decipher. You have to, there's so many, a past life is just not feeling you were somebody. The brain, the frontal brain holds that concept within it. The consciousness of it emerges. I'm much more impressed with little kids that will go through dates and times and events that they could have never possibly have been able to have discovered, not on TV, not in movies, nothing, and reveal certain dates and times that things have happened, people's names, that places on the earth they'd never been or heard of before. I once went to a house and did a reading with a little child on the I was making notes with the mother, that the mother wasn't even aware of, that this child was, I was picking up a vibe that the child lived in Napoleon days. And I never said anything to the mother, but the mother had me come out to meet the child. And when I went into the child's room, he had lined up on his floor in his bedroom, armies from the Napoleon Waterloo. And he had them all lined up like they were regiments and going into battle.
Wow.
And he was walking around on the floor, stomping like a soldier, and telling me how he lined up all the battle scenes. And I got a chill on my back, because only I knew in the reading with the mother that I had thought that this child had come. She was telling me about how extraordinary her child was, but she wasn't really giving me too many details. And I said, just let me meet the child. But I was jotting down these notes. So when I came to the house, sure enough, this child was, it was kind of eerie, to tell you the truth.
It's pretty amazing. Well, I mean, there's that TV show, of course, about the children that have past lives, which is compelling. But
yeah.
There's also, which I didn't know, do you know there's a book about reincarnation by this man named Dr. Ian Stevenson. It's a scholarly book. I think it's like over 1,000 pages long, and it's case studies of children that remember past lives, and not only that, but scars that they have that are linked to past life wounds or so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So there's actually study in this area, which is it helps to bolster the theory that this is actually, you know.
Yeah, true. I mean, in my experiences as a psychic, parents have often let me work with the children. And I was I remember another case I had where I was dealing with a child, and I saw when I was talking to the child, I saw in a past life vision, the child had, his skull had been cracked in a past life during war. And what I looked at when I was doing a reading with the child in the present stage, I went over to his head. The mother was there. I went over to his head and parted his hair, and he had a severe, weird birthmark on the crown of his head. And that, it was almost like dried blood. And she said, oh, yeah, he's always had that.
Wow.
But what was amazing was that I, in the past, I, without first having seen that, I saw the child hit in that same position with the end of a rifle, and it cracked his skull open. And I saw that vision, and that's when it prompted me to go over and look at his hair just out of curiosity, and I saw that birthmark.
Did that child have memories of the past life?
The child was having severe nightmare dreams of violence.
Oh, but which is obviously connected to that,
but
not completely manifesting in his consciousness as a memory.
Yeah, no, nothing on that level, but was having severe nightmares of being chased, and they didn't know what it was. They thought it was a poltergeist or something in the room. Well, the child was having, there was nothing in the room. The child was having, I think, internal nightmares regarding the past life consciousness.
We have another caller, Neil, so let's bring them on right now. 253, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Holly from Seattle.
Oh, hi, Holly.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering if you can tell me, like, from a past life, what my birthmark's from. Is there any way to pick
okay.
up on that?
10/25/64. Well, don't say anything else yet. Let's see. It's okay, but maybe you can pick something up without knowing anything about the birthmark, first of all. I'm going to see.
28/10/1.
Yeah, 28/10/1. Right, Holly? 10/25/64 is your birthday?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you something, Holly. Have you ever had any problems with anything in your arm or your hands, any problems with burns or broken arms or broken bones, anything like that, sling?
My arm when I was little, my right arm.
Yeah. Because what I'm getting, when you ask me about your birthmark, what my energy tells me here is that you had broken an arm, I believe that was an arm, before you actually validated it. And that break in that arm occurred from a past life altercation that was still so fresh in the energy of who you are today that it actually rebroke. So you've had a broken arm, not only in this lifetime, but it was broken in a past life too. I also think that that broken arm in the past life was from riding on a horse. It almost feels like England when I go back there and riding on a horse. Have you ever ridden on any horses in this lifetime?
Yes, I love horses. I haven't rode in years, but when I was younger, I did.
Yeah. So, you see, Holly, to answer your question, I start to move forward on a different path, but the same theme of past lives. So you were on a horse in a past life. It was in England. You fell off the horse. You broke your arm. But the break back then was very severe, and they didn't have the same medical advancements as they would today. So the arm was forever, it was useless almost. You really couldn't use the arm throughout the rest of that lifetime. And, it almost was like you were fox hunting. Because I see a red and red jacket and white pants. In this lifetime, now in this lifetime, any guns or hunters or anything in your surrounding?
No, I'm very against all I'm against all of that.
Yeah, well, then that makes sense on the other hand, because in the past life, it resulted in you losing your arm, so to speak, the use of your arm, going through a lot of pain. So it would only make sense that in this lifetime you would have that zone. I'm also seeing, has anything ever been removed from your back, even benign things from a doctor's office?
No, but I just have, I just noticed a mole that's unusual, and I asked about it, and it's fine. So that just happened about 6 months ago.
Yeah, so I'm picking up on that zone as I'm analyzing and connecting to, you know, the theme of your birthmark. So the mole on your back that you noticed that you asked your doctor about and the doctor said, no, it's fine, I'm picking up on that agenda as a psychic energy, which that mole is occurring, and it's benign in this lifetime, nothing to worry about, but it's occurring from a past life zone. So I think in another lifetime you were shot. You were shot.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think you've had some interesting past lives. There seems, you know, I mean, when we go through past lives, you know, getting shot, breaking a bone, I mean, that's all pretty common, especially in older days, you know, these things were kind of common and more prone to happen than as we become more civilized, and it's less likely to happen. Now let's get over to this birth. You know, I'm also seeing you getting a burn. Has there been any burns in this lifetime? Minor burns, burns?
No, not that I can remember.
Okay, so the past
on my foot when I was little. Sorry.
Yeah, what was that?
When I was little, I stepped on like a sparkler on the bottom of my foot. I was barefoot in California and stepped on a sparkler. So I got burnt by that.
Uh-huh. So that sparkler. Yeah, you see, all these things in my mind take me to different areas of interpretation, and it's just a little weird. Was anybody involved in the occult in your history? Anyone interested in witchcraft or anything throughout your lifetime? Anybody in your background?
No, not that I know of.
Not that you know of. And no, there's no Massachusetts. You've never been to Massachusetts?
No. But my mom lived on like an Indian reservation when she was a kid, so she might know some Indian stuff.
Okay, so there's something going on in there. Where's your birthmark in this lifetime?
My left thigh, all the way around my side, and all the way up my back. It's quite large, and it's red.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you something, and I think I understand where this is coming from, because I'm looking at general related themes. The birthmark on your thigh going up your back and going red, brace yourself. I think in a past life, you were burned at the stake. I think you were accused of witchcraft.
God.
Yeah, I do. Well,
I was wondering what happened.
Something
pretty traumatic had to happen to have this thing on me.
Yeah. That's what I think. That's only one psychic's interpretation, but you know, I have to count on what I think.
Because I'm psychic now. Yeah, I'm psychic now as well. I mean, everybody
is,
but I use mine.
Back in those days, Holly, witches that were burned at the stake in Massachusetts were, I mean, you could have, neighbors accused other neighbors because they didn't like them, and they did all kinds of horrible things to them.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody was a witch. And to tell you the truth, if you combined two herbs together and talked about Odin, you were considered a pagan. So, you know, back in those days, it was ludicrous as to what they did to human beings and the tests that they would do to see if they were witches or not, you know, like put them in water to see if they would sink. It's just ridiculous stuff, very torturous things.
Oh, my God. That's
and
terrible.
So that's where I think it came from.
Wow. Thank you. I've been wondering all my life. So that's huge.
All right,
thank
Holly.
You.
Well,
some interesting information today. All right. Well, Neil, you're welcome, Holly. Neil, we are out of callers, and I think we're going to wrap it up now.
Okay.
So we're back on the air on Wednesday next week.
Thanks, everybody, for your participation, and we will speak with you then. Bye-bye.